So we're on the last message on the human spirit. Hasn't this been a wonderful line of fellowship on the human spirit?
Amen.
On the mingled spirit. So I just want to do in a quick way, I really appreciate how these messages are laid out. You know, these messages really follow chapter by chapter. You know, the book of Ephesians is particular in that the human spirit is mentioned in every chapter in Ephesians. So there's a reason. Because to see the revelation of the mystery, to see the mystery of God's economy, we need to know our spirit.
Amen.
And that's probably the key reason why most Christians are in darkness. They have no idea concerning the eternal purpose of our God. Because they don't know that this purpose is revealed in spirit. It's revealed to those that are in spirit. So the first message, you know, it was about revelation is a matter of being in the Spirit. This is really key. To see the divine and mystical realm, to see the invisible realm, to see what is in God's heart. It requires that we be in spirit. Actually, there are four great revelations in the book of Revelation. And each one, John begins by saying, I was in spirit.
Amen.
Right? I was in spirit. He carried me away. I was in spirit on the Lord's Day, right? In spirit. We need to be in spirit to receive revelation. So, I hope and I pray and we pray that you received revelation during this training. That's really key for our growth in life, for our going on to see revelation. The second one was on the spirit is critical for the building up, right? We're being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. Building is a matter of being in our spirit. This is chapter 2. And chapter 3, I really appreciate this. Being strengthened, right? We need to be strengthened into our inner man, right? Through our spirit into our inner man, that what? Christ would make his home in our heart. Didn't you appreciate that example of being headed up? What it is to be headed up? That's so practical. You know, our spirit is surrounded by our soul, the three parts of our soul. And most of the time, we live a life of being controlled by our soul, by the whims, the desires of our heart. And so the spirit is encased inside our outer man, inside our soul, which is my person. It's Charles. It's the way I was born. It's my likes. It's my dislikes. It's how my friends have influenced me, my social life. All these things, I make decisions based on that, not on my spirit. But to see what it is to be headed up, that's so practical. To be headed up is to be one who turn to my spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, touch my spirit and allow the spirit to be the one making the decisions. But I hope as we're coming up into this final message, we'll realize if we want to live with the Lord, we need to let the Lord live in us. Right? He's another person. And that brings us to message 4 on being renewed. How we have there's a person in my spirit now. Isn't that awesome? There's a hymn I really enjoy. But there's a person in my spirit now.
Amen.
That is a key revelation, actually, that we all must have. That there is another person that's in my spirit. And this person doesn't just have a desire, have a kind of a feeling about certain things. But he is the topmost enjoyment.
Amen.
Actually, to live this person is not to, you know, shut myself down and live by this other person. But actually, it's to be in the top enjoyment. It's to be the happiest person on earth when you're one with Christ and you're letting Christ live in you. That's a wonderful person. And then we enjoy everything in the church life. And then this message is actually combining messages 5 and 6. Being filled in spirit, that's chapter 5, and message 6, praying in spirit, or chapter 6. Okay, so we come to this message now. Let's all together read Roman numeral 1. Amen. Amen. So a lot of this, it may seem like, and it probably is actually a little bit foundational. Like, oh yeah, this is message 1, right? The foundation of the Christian life is the Spirit with our spirit. This is really key. The foundation of our Christian life. There are 3 verses. Now we'll get into all 3 verses. And we should have these verses committed to memory. Actually, they could be a big strengthening to us, a real help to us. And we'll bring them out in three ways. One shows us that we have another source. Right? We have another source. Another verse shows us that we enjoy this from this source. We enjoy this one. We contact this one. We receive this one. We absorb this one. We worship this one. And then the third verse shows us concerning our daily walk, concerning my Christian life. Right? We want to have a life where the Lord is living again on the earth in His divinely enriched humanity. That's the kind of life we want. Well, first of all, we need to know these three verses, saints. The first one, how about sisters read A? Amen. Amen. So we also don't want to just receive these words in this message merely as a message. So how about sisters, read that again. And brothers, exercise your spirit. Amen. You know, to say exercise your spirit is not just, I'm not exhorting Jacob. Hey, brother, come on, exercise your spirit. Actually, to exercise your spirit is the key to the Christian life. Amen. And so what better way, what better time to exercise our spirit than in the gymnasium, Amen. Right? I mean, we're not in the gymnasium physically, but we're in the gymnasio, right? Exercise. That means that we're all here together. We're on Team Universal Christ. It's not Team USA, but the Universal Christ. And we want to exercise our spirit because when we go out there, right, it's no longer training. That's real life, right? That's the Olympics or whatever, you know, however you want to take this analogy. But we can all together exercise. Isn't it easier to exercise in a corporate gathering like this? It absolutely is. So sisters, read A again. And brothers, not in a way of formality and just doing a church life function, but say amen. And when I say amen, what you're doing is, this is my practice in the meetings. And I'll just extend it a little bit. When saints are testifying at the microphone, when somebody's reading a verse, I don't do this all the time. If you observe me, you know I don't do this all the time. I'm in my mind a lot, just like you. But I'm no different than you. Okay, but here's the key. The key is, you know, we have to set our mind on the Spirit. So first of all, there's a setting of the mind. So, you know, when somebody reads a verse or somebody's sharing something, you know, you do your best to listen. You focus and you just listen. And what they're doing is they're declaring a fact, right? They're speaking something that's divine and mystical, but it's a fact. And so how do you appropriate that? How do you apprehend that? How do you apply that to me? You just say, amen. It's just a simple amen. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be amen, right? You just say amen. Amen. So anyway, to say amen is not a ritual. It's not a form. Actually, this is the way that we touch the Spirit when we're silent. We're listening, right? But we always have to be in our spirit. So one of the ways we remain in our spirit is we say amen. We need to learn to say amen. You could say amen silently. You could say amen in your mind. You could say it out loud. This is not just to encourage the one speaking. David's speaking. I want to encourage him. So I say amen. 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 No. Say amen is for me. Because I want to exercise my spirit. Because I don't want to miss a single moment of being in my spirit. Because I'm learning just like you. So sisters A. And then we'll brothers will say amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. So John 3:6 is that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Right? We know this verse. This is the experience of regeneration. This is the fact that we have another source. There's another element. There's another source that was put in us, and that is the Spirit now is mingled with my spirit. Right? There's a mingling going on. And there's another person in my spirit. This is accomplished through regeneration. This is the fact. Okay, brothers, how about read B?
In John 4:24, you see that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in our spirit.
Amen. Function of our spirit is to worship, contact, receive, retain, and digest God. Amen. So our spirit, to worship. Oh, contact, receive, retain, and digest God. Amen. That's good. Worship God. Amen. Contact God. Amen. Receive God. Oh, retain God. Amen. And digest God. Amen. You know, digestion, actually, you know, when we receive something of God, we take Him in, you know, maybe through a portion of the message, or you're reading a verse, fellowshipping, exercising your spirit. You know what digestion is? Like the brother shared, you take it in. It's not just in your mouth. You receive it. And then it gets to your spirit. And as your spirit is activated, the spirit within your spirit, the capital S spirit in your spirit, maybe speaks something to you. Maybe it says, stand up. Stand up and speak. Maybe it says, say amen. Maybe it says, you didn't make your bed. Maybe it says, you should do this. That. Or maybe it just fills you with something. Right? You just begin to enjoy something. And then your obedience to that sense within, that's digestion. You know, a lot of times we miss the digestion because the Lord is speaking to us and we don't want to stand up. The Lord says, during the table meeting, somebody calls a hymn and you were enjoying a verse that matched that line. And you're like, I should stand up and speak. But you're thinking to yourself, but I just have this verse. I don't have anything else. So to stand up and speak and say a verse and sit down, that's kind of awkward. Nobody does that. And that's not part of the meeting ritual. So I shouldn't do that. And so what happens is the Lord is operating. He wants to be infused into your being. There's an element there that wants to saturate you. But then you don't exercise your spirit by worshiping Him and by digesting Him. And so God doesn't have a way to flow into you, to flow out of you. I mean, this extends to preaching the gospel. It extends to just obeying Him when He touches you concerning different things. It could be speaking. It could be obeying. Right? This matter of our spirit is how we contact God, absorb God, worship God. Those that worship God must worship what? In spirit and truthfulness. In spirit and truthfulness. Okay, how about all together read Romans, in Romans 8:16, the divine spirit witnesses with our spirit, indicating that the spirit of God dwells in our regenerated human spirit and works in our spirit. So this has to do with our walking, our daily walk. And this is the real burden of this line of fellowship, because we're not here just to infuse you with some points about the human spirit. You've probably heard about the human spirit. I surely did growing up in summer schools of truth, hearing about the human spirit, but not really applying it to my human life, my daily life. So I had a meeting life and I could do the meeting things and fit in and say the meeting vocabulary. But in my daily life, I didn't have a living and a walking that was according to my human spirit. So eventually, the contradiction in my daily life grew larger and larger and larger. Because as you get older, you have more freedoms. Eventually, I had a job. I started working when I was in high school. And so now I have my work life, and now I have my home life, school life. I mean, there's all these. And then eventually, moved out of my house. And so now the discrepancy is even larger because I live the way I want to live. And when I go to the meetings, I think you know what I'm speaking of. You have experience of this because you're no different than me. But the Lord wants to bring us to another kind of living where we're exercising our spirit at any time. It should be 24/7, but we're practicing, we're endeavoring. But we have a spirit that witnesses with our spirit, that strengthens us, that keeps us in a walk that is with the Lord. And so this is the real key that we would learn. Lord, I need to do everything with you. You know, I remember growing up, some of you may have this experience, those that grew up in the church life. You know, my mom would always call on the name of the Lord Jesus. She would always be calling. And I remember when I was little, you know, I would say, Mom, what's wrong? You know, she'd wash the dishes. Lord Jesus. Lord, Mom, what's wrong? You know, because typically it was like, Lord Jesus. You know, it was like, what are you boys doing? You know, But that was a way to touch the Lord, you know, through, she had six kids, so causing a lot of problems, but you know, that was a pattern to me, and so I realized, you know, she called on the Lord all the time, not just when there was trouble. She just called on the Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, and so this is something that you need to be infused with, this pattern, that I need to call on the Lord all the time, not just when it's maybe beneficial to me because I'm in trouble, But you know what calling on the Lord is? This is what I really realized. You know what, to me, calling on the Lord issues in a conversation with the Lord. It opens the door for me to speak to the Lord. Have you ever tried this? Have you ever started just calling on the Lord? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. And then you just start talking to the Lord. Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I give myself to you. What happens? You realize there's he's a person. He's a living person. So we need to get to the point where maybe you're like, oh, Lord Jesus. Maybe somebody gets you mad. Eric gets you really upset. And you're going to lose your temper. You say, oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm going to lose my temper. Lord, come lose your temper with me. Because you have the realization, actually, I'm one spirit with the Lord. And He's a person in me. So whatever I do, Lord, you do it with me. Even I'm going to lose my temper. Lord, you lose your temper with me. And then if you can do that, the Lord was angry sometimes. I mean, we probably shouldn't just imitate that and say, well, the Lord was angry, so I could be angry. But the principle is, in our daily life, the Lord wants to be involved in everything. So we need to involve Him. So calling on the Lord, talking to Him. I remember at work, you know, in the evenings when I was my senior year in high school, I was stocking in this grocery store. And I remember just, you know, you're at the shelves and it's at night, hardly anybody in the store. I remember just talking to the Lord. You know, and I would, you know, I remember I had all these songs in my head, worldly songs. And I would, like, sing the whole CD, you know. You guys still have CDs, right? So the whole tape CD all the way through I could go track one, track two, track three, track four. You know, and I would kill the time, you know, as I'm doing this mundane activity. But then sometimes I would say, Lord, I'm going to talk to you till I get to the end of that aisle, you know. So I'm doing my thing, and I would just talk to the Lord. Just have conversations. Lord, how are you? How are you, Lord? I mean, I know you've heard this before, but do you practice it? Do you practice talking to the Lord as you're driving? You could be right in the middle of doing something worldly. You turn it off. Lord, here I am. Amen, Lord. Lord, I'm open to you. How are you today? I'm having a good day. Maybe I'm tired. Anyway, the principle is we're learning how to extend the exercise of our spirit from the meetings, which is we need to exercise our spirit in the meetings. Absolutely. The building up of the church, right, is in the meetings of the church. But there needs to be an exercise that extends beyond just the meeting life. That's the burden of this message. We're people that live. We need to live another life. Right? Oh, Lord. Okay, how about D? These two spirits live together, work together, and exist together as one mingled spirit. E, I'll read E. In the Christian life, we live by the divine spirit in our spirit. By enjoying. How about everybody say that together? Enjoying. Enjoying the divine spirit through our spirit and by walking in our spirit in our daily living. So I just want to share one thing related to this because I really want to leave time for Glenn. You know, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. And I'm really touched, you know, according to my experience, you know, the main thing that frustrates my exercise of the spirit is the self. I just checked my experience. And the reason is because I have a really weak will. I don't know if you suffer from this. I don't want to do the things that God wants me to do. Right? My friends, you know, peer pressure. Why do we have peer pressure? Because our will is weak. It's just a jellyfish. We just, you know, do that. Oh, all right. Like, you know, it's like we sit down and we're like, Lord, I'm willing to go to the meeting. And you just sit down. And, well, as long as somebody carries me there, you know, I'm just... There's not a will to say, I'm going to do this. You know, and so I remember working late, you know, in my early college years. And then I'd come home and I'd be really tired. And I'd say, well, the meeting's on the Lord's day. Lord, if I wake up, I'll go to the meeting. If you wake me up, I'll go to the meeting. You know, and then I'll wake up at like 10:30. Ah, well... Didn't wake up on time. So, you know, but walking late. And it just, you know, this is how I was. Oh, Lord, you know. But eventually, the Lord just began to touch me. You have a will, weak man. You have a will. You have a spirit of power. Amen. And so your spirit is weak because you don't exercise your will. So eventually, it wasn't a matter of, well, if I get there, I get there. I was like, you know, kind of leaving it to the Lord's hands. Well, Lord, if you want me to go, you have to work it out. But I would just say, Lord, I'm going to the meeting. I'm going to the meeting. I exercise my will. I'm going to be there. I'm going to the prayer meeting. I'm going to go. And so what happened? When I got to the meeting, my spirit was strengthened because I had a spirit of power, which is related to the will to choose in love and sober-mindedness. So don't let the enemy kind of lull you into this sense of like, well, you know, I just didn't have time or I couldn't go or all these things related to our will. Saints, we have a will. We can choose. You know, I hate that young people would be under the control of anything. I was under the control of things that controlled me. I mean, do you like that? Do you think addicts love being addicted to things? You know, do you think they love that? I would hate that any of us would be under the control of anything in this age that directs us, that controls us. But you know what? That to break free of that, it requires an exercise of your will. We are not those that are under the control of this age. But we need to exercise our will, because if we don't exercise our will, our spirit will remain weak. There's less contacting, less receiving, less enjoying. But the converse of that is if we take little steps, say, Lord, I exercise myself. I will restrict myself in this matter. I will go to the meeting. It's not a small thing to exercise your will. Then, in reality, you have a spirit of power. Amen. And that power has to do with the enjoyment of Christ, the exercise of your spirit, the receiving, the contacting. I mean, all these things are together. This is related to using our spirit. So we need to use our spirit. Amen. So, Roman numeral 2. To have a few more points. We need to be filled in spirit to overflow Christ for the church life. This is actually the key burden here. So A, to be filled in spirit is to be filled in our regenerated spirit with Christ as the spirit unto all the fullness of God. Whereas to be drunk with wine is to be filled with the wine of earthly pleasures. Okay. So in Psalm 104:15 it says wine that cheers man's heart. So the earth gives wine that cheers man's heart. Why do people drink wine? Why do people drink wine? You know, when I was working for, I was doing some work with another brother in the church that does cleaning, carpet cleaning, and I was just in the summertime, just being with him, spending some time with him. And we go into these homes that are just like, you know, really wealthy people. They all have maids and all this and that. And I was amazed. You know, it was like the more money they had, the larger their liquor cabinet was. I mean, it was just this glass case with just all kinds of, it was huge. I couldn't believe it. It was like big as my kitchen. Okay, why do people drink wine? Why do they drink wine? It makes them happy. It cheers them. Okay, why do you need to be cheered? Because you're not happy. You know, it's very simple. It's very simple, right? And so you have to realize that it's also a drug. You know, alcohol is a drug. And so what does it do? It kills the pain of your emptiness in your human life. It numbs the pain that you feel. And so you drink because you're just so empty. And that empty brings in sorrow and depression. You have to do something about that. And what does the world have? Just drink earthly wine. You know, of course, this goes beyond just physical alcohol. It goes to entertainments. I mean, what people have, it's misery out there, right? And even to us, the things that we enjoy, I think you've touched this, you experience it. It doesn't satisfy. There's misery there. But what does the Lord want us to do? He wants us to be filled in spirit. Now, listen, being filled in spirit means that you are enjoying something that is eternal, that is perpetual, that supplies you, that strengthens you, and that everybody on this earth is looking for. You know, when my wife and I were hiking in L.A., you know, there's this drive called Mulholland Drive, and all these wealthy, rich, famous people, they all have homes there. And there's these tours that would drive by on these big buses, and they would look and see all these big homes. And one time, my wife and I were just going for a hike, and we were standing off on this little overlook, and then this tour bus came up, and they were like, oh, there's so-and-so's house, and oh, that over there, there's another house, that's so-and-so's house. And, you know, and they're impressed by that. Wow, that big old mansion and then the tennis courts. And that was, oh, so-and-so lives there. It's amazing. Okay, well, what we need to realize and we need to be impressed with is that, okay, if I gave you everything in my wallet right now, Michael. I just say, here's my wallet. You can have everything in my wallet. It's yours. Okay? He would be, okay. Not bad. I don't think he has that much, but okay. What if I said, my house, the keys to my house, it's yours, right? My car. For those that know me, my car is not that great, but here's my car, okay? And what if I said, here's Southern California. You just take Southern California. I want you to have Southern California. No. I want you to have California. You can have the Bay Area, too. Why? I'll throw in Vancouver. How about North America? Here's North America. Oh, you know what? No, I'm going to give you the whole the whole world. And then how about I'll give you the whole universe? Or how about I'll give you the one that fills the universe? Okay, that's the Christ that lives in our spirit. So why would we not want to explore these riches? Actually, God's given us Christ, whose riches overflow the universe. Right? So to be filled with this kind of wine. Actually, the Bible tells you, be drunk with this kind of wine. That's why it mentions it. But if we're not drinking it in, taking it in, letting it fill our being, then we're missing all these riches that the whole universe is looking for, which is why they drink this pitiful wine. Okay, so to be filled in spirit, is to be filled in our regenerated spirit with Christ. So we need to touch these riches. Amen. Saints, these riches are for us to enjoy in our mingled spirit. Amen. And we want to be drunk with these riches, filled with not the wine of earthly pleasures, but to be filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're genuinely happy. You're enjoying. I remember one time, many times actually, if you've had this experience, I went into a grocery store, and I try to do this a lot. It gets easier because you it's just quick. But I hand them something and the money, and okay, have a great day. And I say, I will, because I love the Lord Jesus, and I hope you do too. And most of the time, they smile. I don't know what it's like in Seattle, but they smile and thank you. But I walk out of there like, amen. All right, And I don't go home and say, honey, I preached the gospel to the cashier. No. But it's for, I'm happy. I'm genuinely happy. I'm supplied. I told the brothers in my group one time I was driving this van. And anyway, the point is, because of time, I just called on the Lord for 30 minutes. I was all by myself for 2 hours. I just called on the Lord. I've done that multiple times on long trips by myself. On a long trip, you're like, man, I used to drive to Salt Lake City from Anaheim during the break, and it was a 9-hour trip, and nothing to do but look at rocks. And the first time, it's really pretty, and after you do it multiple times, you're like, okay, here we are, going through St. George. What am I going to do? So call on the Lord. I want to be drunk. Drunk with the Spirit.
Amen.
It's reality. You can be drunk with the Spirit.
Amen.
It's sad that we would not experience being drunk with the Spirit.
Amen.
Being filled with the Spirit. Amen. This is the Christ for our enjoyment and experience. But I think our brother Glenn will bring us more into the experience of that. So B says, speaking to one another, singing, giving thanks, and being subject to one another are not only the outflow of being filled in spirit, but also the way for us to be. Yeah, not just the outflow of being filled in spirit, but the way for us to be filled in spirit. So, amen. Yeah, I'll stop there because our real burden is that we would realize we need to be filled in spirit.
Amen.
In our daily life, it needs to extend beyond the meetings. The meetings are critical for our exercise and enjoyment. But we need to realize, Lord, I need to enjoy you throughout the day, calling on the Lord. I can't tell you how much I contacted God, at work, just calling on the Lord, just talking to Him, praying to Him. Actually, that was a key factor in me. There was a period of time where I wasn't consistent in the meetings. But I remember I never lost this practice of calling on the Lord and of confessing and of opening to the Lord. And there were some things I was struggling with. And I just would talk to the Lord. Lord, I'm not happy where I am. Lord, you need to get me out. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just open to you, Lord. I would confess. I would talk to the Lord with tears. And I would just get filled. And my experience is when I began to exercise my spirit in the meetings, and there's a lot to share, and unfortunately I'm out of time, but to exercise my will, just to listen, and to say, Lord, I'm here. I don't want to waste time. I'm here at a party with these saints in this meeting right now, the love feast, right? The Lord's table, right? It's a table. It's a feast. I don't want to be here in a routine way, again, exercising my will. I could just be here and just you know, whatever's going to happen afterwards. But, Lord, I don't want to miss it. I'm going to miss it. I don't want to miss it, Lord. So I'm just going to exercise my spirit. I just want to listen to what my brother has to share. Amen. I just want to say amen. I just want to sing with my spirit. Amen. You know, we're learning, saints, and we're not here trying to you to be, you know, just performers. That's not our point. But we have a spirit. We've been regenerated. We're born of God. Christ is another person, is in our spirit. He overflows the universe. He wants us to be drunk with Him.
Amen.
We can exercise our spirit to experience this in our daily life.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand up and read Roman numeral 2 together.
We need to be filled in spirit to overflow Christ for the church life.
Read it again with a strong spirit.
We need to be filled in spirit to overflow Christ for the church life.
Amen.
Okay.
For the church life. Okay, that's good. This point is taken from Ephesians 5:18. Do you know what Ephesians 5:18 says? It says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit."
Amen.
I have never... For a long time, I never understood why would you put "don't get drunk" and then "be filled in spirit." Seems like these two things are just complete opposites. It's like saying "don't steal, but prophesy." What? What does that have to do with each other? Paul put these two things together because they're very much related. Do not be drunk with wine. As Charles shared, people drink to ease the pain and to escape from the pain, and to get some kind of joy. But it's just a very, very temporary and momentary period of joy or escape. And then when you wake out of the stupor, the problem's even greater. I have been in a country where it's known for drinking. And you see people drunk and pass out, you know, almost on a daily basis. They're trying to escape from their problems in their daily life. So people, a lot of people all over the world in college, they drink to try to get that kind of joy. Paul knows this. And what he's saying is that drinking will not give you joy. But when you're filled with spirit, that will give you much more joy.
Amen.
How do you know if you're filled in your spirit? There's a joy within. Much like and much greater than a joy than when you drink real wine or real alcohol. There is a joy from within, and I believe a lot of you have tasted it this week.
Amen.
I've heard some testimonies where you had touched the Lord this week more than you had ever in your whole Christian life. I think we all have enjoyed the Lord. There's a joy here, right? And it's from being filled in spirit. Now here's a concern that you may have. When I go home tomorrow, will I still have that joy? Do you have that thought? Do you have that concern? Don't you want to keep the joy? Maybe we should just stay here the whole time then. Well, that would be expensive. We can't stay here the whole time, but you can still be filled in spirit wherever you are. It doesn't have to have this many saints. You don't have to have 160 young people your age. You can only, maybe you only have one, maybe you only have two. You can still be filled in spirit wherever you are. Because to be filled in spirit requires one thing that you all have. You all say spirit? No. It requires your mouth.
Amen.
You need a mouth. To be even filled in spirit, you need to speak. Brothers and sisters, this is the key to be filled in spirit. So, Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled in spirit." There's a comma. Then in verse 19, he tells you how. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God and the Father. Here, Paul mentions three things. He mentions speaking, he mentions singing, and he mentions giving thanks. These three things have one thing in common. You have to do them with your mouth.
Amen.
And you do it by speaking. Brothers and sisters, When you go back, and I know you have this concern, I don't want to go back to the way I was before. I don't want to go back to my former way of living. I tasted something this week, and I want to continue. The reason why you didn't have this experience before, because you never spoke enough, or you never spoke. Now you say, no, I did talk a lot. Yeah, you did talk, but you spoke the wrong things. You need to speak God. You need to speak. This week was filled with speaking spiritual things. You were speaking verses. You were singing to one another. You were giving thanks. You were praising. The whole week was filled with speaking, and this is why we are drunk with the Spirit right now. Amen. This is why we had such a good time. This is why we enjoy the Lord so much. It's not because we gathered all of us together. That is, you know, that's a big help. But the real key is speaking, brothers and sisters. If you can learn to speak in your daily living, you can be filled every day.
Amen.
So don't think, okay, I need to get as much as I can this today to last me all the way to next year when I come again next year to get filled again. No, that's not going to work, because you can only be filled up for today. Tomorrow when you wake up, you won't have this. You can't live off the filling of yesterday, let alone last week. Every day we need to be filled. Filling is not something you get just from coming to the meetings, although this is our experience. I think a lot of times we come to the meetings to get filled. Actually, to be filled should happen in your daily living before you come to the meetings. Then when you come to the meetings, you overflow. I know this is not our experience. A lot of times we're empty during the week, during the day. Then we come to the meetings, we're dead, and then we get filled up. That's actually the opposite of what we should be doing. Every day when you wake up, you should get filled. And during the day, you should be speaking to get filled, singing to get filled, thanking the Lord to get filled. Then when you come to the meetings, you're already full and you overflow. Then the meetings, then the church life goes much higher. Some of you may think, well, you don't know what my meetings are like back home. There's only two of us. There's three of us. It's not that enjoyable. It's not like this. Well, it's not enjoyable because you're not being filled beforehand and overflowing. If you practice speaking during the week, during the day, to get filled, it will uplift the meeting. So Roman numeral 2, we need to be filled in spirit for what? For the overflow of the church life.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, being filled in spirit is not just for yourself, it's for the church life. It's for the church life. Okay. As you get filled, if you learn to do this, it overflows into your daily life. And what I mean by that is, it carries into, you'll notice a difference in your living. Not only do you get joy, you become a proper person, a proper brother, a proper roommate, a proper son or daughter, a proper student, and a proper saint in the church life. As you get older, like me, as I get older, I realize this more and more. I need to be filled in spirit to be a proper person.
Amen.
When I was your age, I thought, I'm pretty proper. I think I would make a pretty good husband. And I know some of you are laughing and some of you are thinking, that sounds ridiculous. That sounds really, you're too proud. But I think you guys think the same thing. Because I don't think I was atypical. I think I was a lot like you guys when I was in college. And sometimes you think about marriage and you think about, man, oh, it'll be awesome. You know, I think I'll be a good husband. I think I'll be a good father. I think I'll be a good wife. You know, this and that. But let me tell you, you're not going to be. No. Because we all need Christ. We're all short. I thought I would be a good husband. But then when I got married, I realized, man, I'm lousy. I'm so selfish. And then I used to think I'd be awesome, awesome father. I'd do all this stuff with them. Now that I have children, I realize, man, I am short. Every day I'm just on the verge of losing my temper with my kids. The way to be proper is to be filled with the Spirit every day. Sooner or later, you're going to learn this. And you're going to learn to be a proper whatever, a proper human being. You need to be filled in Spirit. Filled in Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this is the key that we need to learn for a whole life. Okay. Now we need to come to Roman numeral 3. Let's read 3 together. So being filled in Spirit is for the overflow. It's to bring the level of life in the church life higher. Prayer is for what? It's to have a proper overcoming church life. A lot of times when we pray for ourselves, we pray for our interests, me. But we have to see that prayer is not just for you, it's for the church. It's for the church. We're going to see this. But I think before we touch this, we need to first touch prayer. What is prayer? I've heard this week some have said, or some have asked, how do you pray? How do you pray in spirit? Some of you have touched, actually, praying in spirit. I see some of you praying together, really touching the spirit. That's wonderful. That's excellent. But prayer is something that we all have the capacity, but we may not have the ability. Wait, did I ever say that right? Yeah, something like that. We all have the capacity because we have a spirit. But to develop, it needs to be developed. And it's a lot like learning an instrument. So when you learn piano, we have the capacity because we have all 10 fingers. But to sit on the piano and play, you may not have the ability. That needs to be developed. You need to train your fingers to know the right notes to play. Prayer is much the same thing. We have the capacity to pray. You have the Spirit. But you may not know how to pray to touch the Lord. When you pray, maybe you use the wrong organ. You pray with your mind. Or you pray with your emotion. And so you don't touch the Lord. You don't contact the Lord. So let's begin here. What is prayer? What's the goal of prayer? Okay, let's read 1 together under A. This is the most simple and basic definition of prayer. Prayer is to contact God in your spirit and to absorb God Himself. Well, you may say, well, what about praying for my friends? Praying, that my friends would get saved, praying for this, praying for that. That's also prayer, but first and foremost, you need to contact God. Because if you don't contact God and you ask for things, how do you know that's what God wants? Maybe that's just what you want. So we need to first contact God. And this is what prayer is. Prayer is to contact God. How do you pray every time to contact God? Wouldn't you like to know? Okay, I'm going to give you 4 points that may help you. 4 points that can help you in your prayer life to contact God. Number 1. First, prayer that contacts God consists of words spoken genuinely from the heart. Prayer needs to be very genuine, from the heart. Like a child. A child always speaks from the heart. There's no pretension. You know exactly how a child feels. You know, a couple weeks ago, I took my family to Washington, D.C., to visit my sister and her family, and then also, you know, to spend time with the family. And, you know, we would go, and there's a lot to do in D.C., and we would go and see all the sights. And my kids were there. I was with the family the whole time. And my son, he would talk, you know, he's talking the whole time, and he's excited to see this and that. But then at the end of the day, we shared a room together, and at the end of the day, we're about to go to bed, turn the lights out. And then he said, "Dad, I just want to let you know, I had a great time today." I know. I'm glad I had turned off the light because I was like, oh my goodness. He had talked the whole day, and I don't remember anything he said that day. But then, at the end of the day, he said, Dad, thanks. I had a really good time. I remember that. Do you know why? He spoke from the heart. He was genuine in what he spoke. The Lord is the same way. We say a lot of things to the Lord, but He's waiting for us to say something from our heart. Something so genuine from our heart. He responds to that. He's waiting for that. Oh, brothers and sisters, when we pray, learn to speak from your heart. Be genuine as you can to the Lord. Okay. Two, to learn to pray to contact the Lord, you need to learn not to be influenced by your memory. Sometimes when we come to the Lord to pray, the first thing we pray for is our prayer burdens, prayer items, a prayer list. The first thing we need to do, and I'm not saying we don't need to do that. We do need to have that kind of prayer. But first, before you even do that, you need to learn to contact God in your prayer. And not to pray by memory, but pray from the feeling within. The feeling within. So when you pray, you need to remember this definition. My goal right now is to contact God. Amen. When you wake up in the morning and you spend a little bit of time with the Lord, you need to focus, not on a lot of other things, but to focus, Lord, right now, I want to contact you. Amen. Actually, we pray this a lot. We pray, Lord, I want to this. Lord, I want to that. Actually, what will help is say, Lord, I'm going to contact you right now. Pray in the positive. Pray yourself into the fact. Lord, a lot of times we say, Lord, I want to contact you. Lord, help me to contact you. That's good. But you can pray even better. You can say, Lord, I'm going to contact you right now. Lord, I will contact you right now. This time, I'm going to contact you. I'm going to absorb you, and I'm going to find you. This kind of prayer will help you to touch the Lord. Three. Prayer must not pay attention. When you're praying, don't pay too much attention to composing sentences. Sometimes we pray and we think about, when we pray, we think about what do I need to say? Don't worry too much. Don't focus on the words. Focus on just touching the Lord. And focus on just to express what's on your heart from deep within. Sometimes it's hard to find words. Paul says, sometimes we just need to groan. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I don't even know how to express this. Lord, you know my feeling deep within. Lord Jesus. You don't have to worry about how to compose it. Sometimes I catch myself and I hear others pray very composed prayers. Lord Jesus, thank you for the day. Thank you for this food. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. Do you ever do that? I catch myself doing this a lot. And you may not say those things, but you say the same thing again and again. You catch yourself saying, Lord Jesus, Lord, strengthen me. Lord Jesus, be my life. Lord Jesus, Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Amen. It's very composed. And while you're saying that, your heart is so far away. That's a pretentious prayer. That's not even a prayer. Prayer comes from the heart. Prayer doesn't come from memory. And prayer is not composed. Prayer is very genuine. Okay, number four. You need to learn to rely on the blood. As you learn to practice these things, it'll be easy to recognize and to sense your sin. And you need to learn to apply the blood and to confess these things. As you pray to touch the Lord, you know you're approaching the Lord. You know that you're eliminating the distance between you and the Lord by light, because God is light. And you'll begin to see your sinfulness. And you know this because specific things will begin to come to mind. The way you spoke to this person, the way your attitude towards this, the way your heart is so occupied by this, by that. The Lord will touch certain things. They'll just come to mind. We need to learn how to confess them. and to take the blood, to apply the blood, to rely on the blood, and then to wash those things away.
Amen.
Then to go on. You don't have to dwell on how bad you are, how rotten you are. You just need to take away that barrier and come closer to the Lord.
Amen.
Then something else will come up. Confess that, take it out of the way, get closer to the Lord until you're face to face with the Lord.
Amen.
This is prayer, brothers and sisters. Prayer is to contact God. We don't always start very close, but as we are genuine with the Lord, as we confess things, as we learn to express what's in our heart, you get closer and closer and closer until you're face to face with God.
Amen.
Then you absorb Him. This is prayer, brothers and sisters, and this is what we need to learn. When we pray, it's not just for ourselves, though. It's for the church life. This is for the church life. Okay, let's read B together.
We need to pray in spirit in order to apply Christ as the whole armor of God, to fight the spiritual warfare and defeat God's enemy.
Amen. I think we're all impressed by the evening line to see that God needs the one new man. Weren't you impressed by that? When God gets the one new man, Satan will be defeated. When God gets the one new man, he can come back. When God gets the one new man, this age can be completed. It can end, and he can bring in the kingdom. He's just waiting for the one new man. Is the one new man something abstract? Is it something that we need to wait for? No. It's something that we can apply. So in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul, he says, finally, be empowered in the Lord and the might of His strength. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. By means of prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance, and petition concerning all the saints. He's saying, put on the armor of God. A lot of Christians take this as an individual thing. I need to put on the armor of God. I need to put on my helmet of salvation today, the breastplate of faith, and then shield of faith. Wait. Righteousness. Yeah, and you know what I'm talking about. Sword of the Spirit. Okay, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight Satan. Bring it on. And then we just get wiped out. When Paul speaks this verse, you have to understand the context. He's not speaking to individual Christians. He never was. The whole book of Ephesians was to show you the body of Christ,
Amen.
The one new man, the church as the dwelling place of God, the household of God, the warrior, the bride. So the context is about the corporate Christ, the church. So when he's talking about put on the whole armor of God, he's referring to the church putting on the whole armor of God. We put on the whole armor of God by prayer. By prayer. Brothers and sisters, I believe wherever you are, there's a group of believers who will practice every week to put on the armor of God.
Amen.
And what they are doing is they're practicing the one new man. They're practicing the one new man. Because they are putting aside the day, they're putting aside their thoughts, their concerns, and they're coming together to pray, to let Christ pray through them, to let Christ be their person. This is the practice of the one new man. Brothers and sisters, this is happening where I'm from. It happens every Tuesday. I don't know what day it happens in your locality, but it's called the prayer meeting. Have you heard of the prayer meeting? Who goes to the prayer meeting regularly? A few, but not a whole lot. By far, not the majority. When I was in college, we would call Tuesday, the prayer meeting, we would call it the fight night. The fight night. See you at the fight, he would say. We'd have dinner together, and then the brothers would get up early, if they finish early, and they'd go, we'll see you at the fight. And then we would go, and then we would go to the prayer meeting, and we'd fight. What are we fighting? We're fighting Satan. By yourself, Satan kicks you around. But when you come together at the prayer meeting, that's when we give it to Him. That's when we stick it to Him.
Amen.
In the prayer meeting, we come together and we kick Satan around like a rag doll. And you're not too young to experience this, brothers and sisters. When you come together, what are we doing? We're praying to get Satan out of that country, out of this situation, out of this person's life. And we're just throwing him this way. Get out of here. Satan, we bind you. Get out of that situation. Get out of that person's life. Get out of this country. Get out of this situation. And go into the lake of fire.
Amen.
That happens in the prayer meeting every Tuesday at the fight. You can only do this in the body. And you can only do this with saints who are headed up. This is the function of the one new man. Brothers and sisters, we need to participate in this, to enter into this. And you can do this not only in the prayer meeting, but also in your campus. Get together with your students, with your fellow students, to pray for the campus and to kick Satan around. Satan needs to be put in his place. He needs to be put into the lake of fire. This kind of prayer, brothers and sisters, is what the Lord is waiting for. Satan has been given too much liberty. He's been running rampant, doing the things he's allowed to do for too long. Why? It's not because God wants it. It's because he's waiting for the new man to stop Satan. And brothers and sisters, we are the new man. Your inner man, corporately, is the one new man.
Amen.
We need to learn to come together, get into the inner man, become the one new man to defeat Satan.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, the Lord's waiting for this. We need to enter in. We need to rise up. So this is something that's not too beyond you. It's not beyond you. It's not just for the older saints, the more mature saints. No, it's specifically for our age. Your age. We need to enter into this. Amen. Let's pray with our neighbors.